Speaking of SAC, we talk about what's going on here at San Antonio College. Joining us this morning with San Antonio College President Dr. Francisco Solis. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
We're in week three.
Week three.
We're having fun. Having a lot of fun. Yeah, we had some news come out this week. I wanted to get your take on it. It turns out, so Northeast Independent School District and Alamo Heights Independent School District have found loopholes in the Texas state cell phone ban, and they're claiming that during class time on campus is instructional time. So during breaks and during lunch, they're going to allow their students to use their cell phones. And I believe we spoke last year, there was a study that came out that said, you know, in classrooms, if you allow the students even a one-minute break on the cell phone, they're not as distracted during class because they're itching for their cell phone. And I wanted to get your take on it. What do you think about the state ban on it and any ISD and Alamo ISD being, Alamo Heights ISD being very inventive in finding this loophole?
Well, let's just start, I think, with I'd ask everyone to conduct their own test at home before they form their opinion, right? I have a 20-year-old son who's at UTSA now and was in high school, just like everybody else. First, I'm amazed at how many individuals sit at dinner or at a restaurant with their phone on the table. Mm-hmm. So the next time you're out with your friends, just look at how many people have their phone out. Also observe how many times your friends or you look at your phone during dinner. And so it's difficult, I think, for everyone today to put their phone away, to disconnect. I think it's got to be a conscious effort to do so. And so imagine you're in the classroom. Right? Even our own college-level students, I see the phone out on the desk.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't doubt that it's any different for these students who have started to become programmed, if you want, to look at their phone constantly, whether someone is texting them or not. And so I do think it's a distraction. I think, though, the test here is whether or not instructors begin to use the phone as part of their everyday classwork. And how they start to do different exercises that engage the phone and the student, right, in the learning. And then I think it takes away that block, if you want, that mental block to say, oh, I can't look at my phone or I can't use my phone. No, you can, but you've got to use it the correct way. So I think that in high school, right, I think parents are still very uneasy about their children not having access to a phone as we continue to have gun violence at school. And I think that it's important that parents have an opportunity to connect with their student at any time. I think we have to find how we can create a compromise here. Right? And I think this is the beginning of that compromise to say, okay, this is the instructional time. This is not instructional time. If it helps for you to look at your phone at this time, do so, right? That would be the breaks or at lunch. I think the battle is not with the phone. The battle is creating an environment in the classroom that really allows for the teaching and learning to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And trying to trying to stop any factors that might take away from that setting. And so I think it's just a problem of today, right, that we're going to have to learn how to solve.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we didn't get text messaging not too long ago. It hasn't been around that long. But on the scale of richness,
mm-hmm.
texting, I think it's taken over as far as more people use it these days, but it's not as rich.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only imagine being a high school student wanting to text my friend who's in a class down the hall instead of when I was a student back in high school. And I could just wait in between class.
Well, remember the pagers, right?
Yes.
And then after that, my son was born in 2005, and I know that I went to get a phone because I was worried that I would get the that I wouldn't have a way to get the call that I needed to be at the hospital, that the delivery time was here. And so I went and got a phone. And so I had a phone a little before he was born so that I could be sure to get the message. So that's 20 years ago for me that I started texting, if you want.
There you go.
But, you know, how we use these tools, I think the same conversation right now is being had about AI. It falls along these lines. How will we use AI? I think that already instructors are finding ways to optimize the tools that come with AI and engage students in how to use the tools responsibly and to further their education. I think that if we take, you know, the stance, if you want, no AI allowed, is not going to work. And do you remember still when computer literacy, you took a course in computer literacy at SAC?
Yes.
Because, you know, there was a population that had not been exposed to computers while they were in high school and even grade school. And then we realized it had become obsolete when our students were coming in with all the tools necessary to be successful using a computer. The same, I think, will happen with AI. I think we'll start to see AI develop. Some tools in AI students will be exposed to very early, as early as middle school, and definitely in writing the term paper in high school. And so we've got to be prepared as well at the college level.
Definitely. Okay, let's see. So, week three, and this week we are going to be observing Patriot Day. It's going to be this Thursday, 9 a.m. We're going to be out in the Sac Mall area. First responders will be out there having a ceremony.
Yes, the ceremony will remember the first responders who gave their lives during 9/11 in 2001 and all of the lives that were lost, the 2,977 lives that were lost during the tragedy. We invite everyone to take part in the ceremony. Join us in the mall. It's a special time on the SAC campus for us to come together. I've been involved in several of the ceremonies, and I think it's always a moment for us just to reflect. I think it's a very emotional ceremony, and I think it's important for us to still remember.
Yes. I think it's amazing how, you know, we're that generation that we were there that day. We remember where we were that day. We remember most of that day. And time is amazing because we're getting students now that were not even born yet during that time. And you explain the day to them, and they just don't get it at that moment. And you hope they don't have to later on in life either, experiencing something like we did that day.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting how far New York seemed, or the different areas seemed, Washington, right, seemed at that moment to us, and yet how close, right, that as Americans we were all very close to each other on that day. I remember just the sense of everybody going home to watch TV to learn what had happened all day long.
Mm-hmm. And San Antonio College, we are observing National Preparedness Month. And we're going to have weekly sessions for the San Antonio College community on how to develop a strategy before an emergency strikes. And our risk management office, they're going to be out in the San Antonio College Mall area at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Wednesday this month. And stop by, ask questions. I mean, you know, something happens, you need to have a plan. It's better to have a plan than not have a plan.
The moment the lights go out and you realize, I don't have a plan.
Yeah, and then you're trying to like, well, where is my flashlight? Do I even have a flash?
Are the batteries working, right?
Yes.
What would be the important medications I need?
And, you know, I always recommend everyone get a, the wind-up radios. Have you seen those? There's wind-up radios, and then they have flashlights built into them. I remember when we had the big snowstorm years ago. Oh, yeah, it was great. I had radio the whole time. KSYM was off the air, but I was able to pick up the emergency stations later down the line. But they're going to help you organize an emergency kit and get a plan on what to do.
Have you ever had the opportunity to camp with scouts?
I have not.
So my son was a scout for 12 years, and he ended up as an Eagle Scout. I've never met boys and girls more prepared than scouts are, right? I mean, it's one of the badges that they earn, obviously. It's one of many. They have several in the emergency preparedness area. But the unique tools that they find today, right? I mean, solar-powered radios, solar-powered flashlights that they carry with them, especially when they do primitive camping, right? It really prepares them for anything and everything, right? And I remember being out at Big Bend in the middle of a storm, but feeling confident because the scouts were around and they knew exactly what to do. While maybe the parents weren't as prepared, but those scouts moved in. You know, one day we were at Camp Bear. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name, but it's just in Kerrville. And they were there for a ceremony, and a lightning started to strike. And in less than about 2 minutes, they moved away from trees, while all the parents stood under the trees, mm-hmm. right? They moved away from trees, out in a field. They created kind of this snake where they got around each other and kept creating smaller and smaller circles and moving in. And they just stood in the rain while the storm passed. And all of the adults were standing under trees where we should not have been in case, you know, a branch falls or something. But they knew exactly what to do. And they were kids of all ages, right? Boys, girls, you know, in scouting, in all ages. But they knew exactly what to do. And so I think it shows that when you're prepared, right, that's what this conversation is about on campus, is being prepared for the moment. What tools will you need? Get all of that done when you're thinking rationally, when you're calm, so that when it does happen, you know exactly where your toolkit is, right? You know exactly where these tools are, and that you can get them and access them when you need without, you know, being in the moment of it and trying to figure it all out.
Yes. Like those blankets, the foil blankets. Mm-hmm. Those are great. Those are fantastic.
We were at Camp Davis one year, and, you know, the scouts earn polar bear points for every degrees below 32. And, you know, the scouts stay in their own tents, and the parents stay in their tents. They're separate. And I remember I got up like at, I don't know, in the middle of the night at some point, and the temperature started to fall. And I started to put on any and every piece of clothing, whether it was clean or not, because I just could not get warm. And I had an insulated sleeping bag. I just think below 32, those weren't working.
Yeah.
And I just remember coming out in the morning, and I had every piece of clothing, and all the scouts are kind of looking at me like, what is he doing? Like, you guys can't feel this is between. And, you know, we had left a couple of bottles of water out, and they were frozen.
Wow.
That's how cold it got.
There you go. Alamo.edu/SAC/risk management. And they can help you get ready in case of an emergency. And also, they're also encouraging the SAC community to sign up for the RAVE app, RAVE, to get notifications in case of a campus emergency. And that's very important.
Yes, please ask anybody on campus if you don't know how to download the app. Especially over in IT, they'll help you download the app. It's important that you have access to those notifications. A lockdown on campus, bad weather, so many things we put out through that.
Yes. I was looking at the San Antonio College website. I was checking out the Academic Success Center, 7th floor, the Moody Learning Center. I didn't realize there's calculator checkouts. You can check out a regular calculator, scientific calculator, or a graphing calculator. That's amazing.
Well, don't forget, too, right? We also have, on the 7th floor, we have computers for checkout. Right?
One of the largest.
Very basic.
Yes.
Right.
One of the largest computer labs on campus. They got computers for checkout. But I remember when I was a student, you know, you had to go and find a graphing calculator at a pawn shop or something, unless you had to buy it brand new, which was super expensive. Mm-hmm. But to be able to check out a graphing calculator, I think that is awesome.
Absolutely, and I know that every math class is sharing that with our students, that these tools are available for them. We have a huge investment in those tools because they're necessary for our students, and they're very expensive still, even though your phone can do quite a bit today.
Yeah.
Right? But the opportunity, especially, say, during an exam when your phones aren't allowed to be on your desk mm-hmm. and you still need the tool, we have these calculators available.
Yes, so definitely visit the Academic Success Center, 7th floor of the Moody Learning Center. Going on today, 10 a.m. to noon, in the Lofton Student Center atrium, we're going to be holding the First Generation Resource Day, the First Gen Resource Day.
Right. SAC will hold it at from beginning at 10 a.m. till noon. It's designed to be a one-stop event to support and empower our first-generation college students. First-gen students will be able to connect with key campus resources, learn about first-generation club, and, of course, our Honor Society. Attendees will build their own first-gen toolkit to help as a personal blueprint for success. You know, nationally, there's about 38% of students in higher ed today are first-gen, and that's not unlike our own numbers here at San Antonio College. There's a number of students who are first-gen on our campus and who simply haven't been exposed to the resources. If you think, though, about the huge commitment we have to all students, not just first-gen, but providing Alamo Promise and Alamo Advocacy, Alamo Books, right? The ability to begin class on day one with your books. All of these initiatives are so important and show the commitment to our values, right? Students first. And so I think that today's an important day for all students, really, to learn about the resources. I'm so surprised with the many, many resources on campus today when somebody tells me, I don't know about our tutoring center. It's something that drives me every day. How do we get these messages out to our students? How do we expose them to all of the services we have? You know, I attended both private universities and public universities. I remember the difference of being at St. Edward's and then when I went to UT for grad school and the huge amount of services that were available. A bus came by and picked me up and took me to class, right? And the free gym. You know, we're trying to create those services on our own campus. I don't know why students are still enrolling in gyms and paying for them.
Oh, yeah.
Right? When our gym is free and it's open now till 9 o'clock and students can go in and...
It's open till 9 o'clock?
And use our services.
Wow.
Right? And so we've really created these spaces for students, right, with these resources, the Advocacy Center. Go by and pick up a grab and go. If you're in need of mental health, drop in. Go to the clothing closet. Go by the shopping area, right, for food. We've created a huge amount of resources for our students to succeed.
Yes. So take advantage of them. And our first-generation students, we got to, you know, we got to let them know about it. We got to let them know about it. They, you know, well, and we do throw this term around a lot, first-generation students. When we say first-generation students and you're new to the program, you know, first-generation, first time in college in their family. And it may not seem like a big deal. It's a very big deal. I mean, you know, I was raised in a family where, you know, like, hey, if you're going to go to college, that's great. But at the age of 16, no matter what, we're going to work. You know, you're 16 now. Go to work after school. And then when you graduate high school, you know, not saying college wasn't an option, but it just wasn't, like, encouraged heavily.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on, I went to college and still had to work, go to work. So it's a big deal. When we talk about first-generation students, because they are the future.
Absolutely.
And coming up this month?
Yes, our students will celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month starting next week, and we'll have several events lined up to recognize the contributions of Hispanics in the United States. On the subject of Hispanic heritage, This is a good time to mention that SAC has been designated a Hispanic-serving institution now for 39 years, and our student population is almost 70% Hispanic or Latino. We also received the Seal of Excellencia from Excellencia in Education. It's the national award that recognizes colleges that have positively impacted the success of Latino students, and that progress can be demonstrated through data, practice, and leadership. The Hispanic Heritage Month kicks off on Tuesday, September the 16th, in the Fiesta Room from 11 to 1 p.m.
Yes. And if you head to the events page of San Antonio College, multiple Hispanic Heritage Month events are going to be going on. The Antojitos Festival is coming back, I understand. It's going to be a very great long month. You know what else is September 16th? It is the 59th anniversary of KSYM, San Antonio College Radio.
How exciting.
Very exciting. And we got to get ready for the 60th, and we're celebrating our 100th this year, San Antonio College. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so I got to start tracking people down, see where they're at. I know they're around here somewhere. But I want to brag a bit on KSYM, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
So we recently got nominated in the National Student Media Production Awards for Best Interview. San Antonio College is up against University of West Georgia, Arkansas State University, and Wayne State College. And we also got nominated Best Public Service Announcement. And listeners have probably heard it. Don't get a ride. Get a ride, don't drink and drive. And that one we're up against four-year universities, Illinois State, Oregon State, and the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. So, super-duper excited about all of this. And we've had many, many great alum come through the program, Sonny Melendrez, Arch Campbell. And, yeah, I look forward to seeing Sonny Melendrez over at the Founders Day celebration. Is he going to be there?
I mean, think about how many radio voices have come through this program.
Many. Many, and we got to find them. We got to track them down. So we do want to thank everyone who tunes in to KSYM all the time, especially this program, because, you know, we got to let people know what we're doing here at San Antonio College. And what's also great about this week, new voices are coming on the air, our students of the Radio Experience class. And so these are first-time students that are getting on the air and going to be having programs.
Have you ever heard Sonny's story about how he got involved?
Yes.
Isn't that a great story?
I forgot
to have him on one day with us.
Yes. I forgot what his regular major was, but he walked by a room and saw a radio station.
Absolutely.
And he called his dad, and he's like, hey, I want to do radio.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, taking charge of your own future like that, like, you know what you want to do. And he went for it, and he was awesome at it. He's still awesome at it.
I love how he talks about, you know, he used to climb up in this treehouse with his transistor radio and listen to the stories, right, that were on the radio then, and just the world that it created for him, being a Latino young boy on the West Side growing up, and him being up in this treehouse listening to the world all around him, and how impressed he was that through this radio box, he was listening to these stories, and he just couldn't wait to be a part of that. And his trajectory, you know, once he entered as a career, has taken him all over the United States, all over the world. He's met so many incredible people, done so many incredible interviews, has so many stories. I wish all of our students could be exposed to his story. I think it drives everybody, no matter what field you pursue, that your dream is important. And that San Antonio College can make that possible for you, that dream. And I just love hearing that story every time. It's very emotional.
Yes. And, you know, when we have students come in, I remember when I was a student at SAC and I came in, they had me take a test to see what careers I would be mm-hmm. good at. Do we still do that?
We do some assessment testing, yes, in the beginning.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. And now with that, I like to think that, you know, yes, you do. You have all the control over your future. You don't have to go off of that test. It can guide you, But no, I'm not a brain surgeon, a lawyer, or a military leader.
Yeah, you know,
as was recommended.
Any student who is still thinking about their career, I hope they'll visit our CREO Center, right, with Sabrina McCall and all the work she's doing down there. There's a lot of assessment testing that she can share with individuals, and she can also put them into contact with experiential learning. Those organizations that are most likely to hire our students, right, you know, rather than shopping around and kind of throwing a dart, you know, at an empty board, Sabrina and her team can really help you narrow it down and look at those employers that are open to hiring students, especially SAC students, and helping them really, you know, touch with more reality of what that future looks like, even if they decide to change. You know, the other day I read some quote, "Yes, I'm changing, and it's okay if I change tomorrow back," right? And I was like, yeah, you know, we kind of live life more like that.
Yes. And yes, those jobs are going to give you different experiences and different options that you may like in the future. And, you know, I think that the difference between a job and a career, you know, something you're good at versus something you like.
Mm-hmm. Well, and sometimes you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you go into something thinking this is what it is and find out that there's something more interesting, still in the same field or something, but, you know, another opportunity that you might have a special talent in. I really think today's job market is about finding where your talents best fit, and there are lots of opportunities.
Yes. And we also want to remind everyone, the Founders Day celebration here at San Antonio College, it's happening Saturday, September 20th at 6 o'clock in front of the Moody Learning Center. In front of the big parking lot. It's in front of the Moody in the big parking lot. Carnival rides, games, food, beer, wine. We're going to finish the night out with fireworks. But what was very cool last week, we announced the West Side Horns are going to be performing. And Patsy Torres is also going to be performing.
Patsy, our own distinguished graduate. Patsy,
yes.
Torres. It's exciting to have so many people involved. You know, I think so far there's been about 2,500 tickets downloaded.
Wow.
So we're asking everybody to go online just so that we can get a sense of how many people will be attending. And 2,500 people have downloaded tickets.
That is cool. That's going to be a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be great. When you come down that day, we're not open for registration then. Not at that time. Come earlier in the day. Maybe we'll be here. But no, definitely come on out. September 20th, Founders Day celebration. We're celebrating 100 years of San Antonio College, and this is our kickoff event for the next year.
Our kickoff event for our centennial. You know, and the other thing, too, is I want to take this opportunity to thank our enrollment teams and our credentialing teams. We had two huge milestones this week. One is that we've awarded last year in total and through the summer over 3,800 degrees. We still have some applications to go to. I think we'll finish up at about 4,000 degrees and credentials awarded in the past academic year. Also, we're very close to celebrating 21,000 students enrolled. We're going to have a big celebration. You'll see the moment. It's going to be kind of like when that one person walks through the line. You should see what we're prepared to do for the student. But it's exciting, right, to see this happening throughout the Alamo Colleges. We're celebrating 87,000 students enrolled in the five Alamo Colleges. Each of the sister colleges is at an all-time high enrollment. Three of us are nearing 20,000 students across the city. It's an exciting time to be at Alamo.
Definitely. Well, time for us. Thank you for coming in today, Dr. Francisco Solis.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the time with you.
Catch us every Tuesday morning, 8:30 to 9, right here on KSYM San Antonio College Radio. Head on over to KSYM.org to check out the replay.